heads role at the Vatican Bank.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Even as Pope Francis moves to shake up the Vatican Bank, the troubled bank seems to be shaking itself up. Two top officials at the bank quit today amid a new scandal. Covering this is the BBC's Alan Johnston in Rome. Morning, Alan.
Hi, David. Hi.
So tell me about the latest scandal to have hit the bank.
Well, scandal, indeed, it really is. A senior cleric, Monsignor Scarano, accused of conspiring with a rich financier and an Italian secret service agent, and their plan was to use a private plane to fly illegally millions of euros in cash from Switzerland to Italy, bypassing taxes and controls on the normal movement of large amounts of cash. The Monsignor worked in the Vatican's finance department. He wasn't actually an employee of the Vatican Bank itself. But the suspicion is that he felt his connections with the bank meant that he could act with a degree of impunity. And it was a major investigation into the bank that led to the Monsignor's arrest.
What is likely to happen next?
Well, we'll see more, I'm sure. And the Pope does seem intent on trying to reform it. Just a few days before this latest scandal broke, he had put in place this board of several members to look at the workings of the bank. You can imagine the embarrassment for the Pope and the Vatican, this new Pope talking endlessly of the need for the Church to focus on the needs of the poor, railing against greed and the unfairness of the international financial system. And yet, right here under his nose, these large questions about the way the institution functions and reports of greed and corruption of a most unchristian kind.
The BBC's Alan Johnston in Rome. Alan, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Authorities say the wildfire that killed 19 firefighters in southwestern Arizona is still not even marginally contained and has burned 200 structures, mostly homes. The Arizona fire is in tinder-dry chaparral country, but as we know, forested areas are also wrestling with a bad fire season. Colorado Public Radio's Megan Verlee reports.
Ben Robinette had plenty of reasons to move his family up to the rural rustic development of Black Forest.
You know, it's always 10 degrees cooler up here than it is in Colorado Springs, and you can hear the trees blowing and birds chirping, and you know, so it was nice. I liked it.
The main sound in Black Forest these days is idling truck engines as crews slowly haul away rubble from the more than 500 homes that burnt to the ground here a few weeks ago. A recent investigative report found in the past two decades, around 250,000 people moved into Colorado's most fire-prone areas.
I don't think people quite realize that we all are, paying for people to live in these types of neighborhoods.
Gregory Simon is an environmental policy expert at the University of Colorado. He says it can be hard to see the full cost of wildfires. Every taxpayer chips in a few pennies to cover firefighting efforts. Homeowners all pay a bit extra in their premiums for massive damage claims. On the other side, there are clearly some who benefit from forest development, like, say, property tax-hungry local governments.
They do have an incentive to build these developments in areas that will create kind of high property values. So a lot of these areas are, you know, comprised of large homes with great views and quite often packed in pretty tightly for the purpose of generating revenues for cities and counties.
Officials across the West struggle with how to make forest homeowners more responsible for defending their property. 2 years ago, California approved a controversial fee for people in fire-prone areas. A task force in Colorado is weighing something similar, but Governor John Hickenlooper says top-down mandates have never been this state's style. The governor wants to see more voluntary fire protection efforts, things homeowners can do themselves, like clearing trees.
It's like a lot of things. We have to hit people over the head. Doesn't mean that the state should be dictating or usurping the local role there.
As the price tag for firefighting keeps getting higher, states like Colorado might have to rethink their role in promoting the vision of that idyllic home in the woods. In Denver, I'm Megan Verlee for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
At Wimbledon today, one women's quarterfinals match will pit Sabine Lisicki against Kaya Kanepi. Who? Well, that's my point here. A lot of big names are out of the tournament, and as Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports, that can leave broadcasters like ESPN racing to woo TV viewers.
Serena Williams is out.
Roger Federer, gone. Rafael Nadal, didn't make it.
With such big names out early, it's going to hit ratings, says Andrew Zimbalist, an economist at Smith College.
When you have a sport like tennis, which is an individual sport, the individual star is enormously important in terms of generating a following.
It's called the Tiger Woods effect. When he doesn't play a golf tournament, ratings go down. That can cost broadcasters money, says Michael Wiles of the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State.
If for some reason a favorite doesn't make the final and ratings are quite low, then the network has to provide make-good advertisements for the advertisers.
In other words, the network has to keep airing ads for free until they reach the guaranteed number of viewers. Jack Plunkett is CEO of Plunkett Research. He says ESPN may still score despite this weird Wimbledon.
A tournament like this, there can still be quite a bit of excitement.
After all, don't you want to watch the player who beat Serena Williams? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And in many cities, press a button on your smartphone and a taxi will show up. Uber is one of the big companies there. Ahead of the 4th of July, press a button on the smartphone in New York and you'll get a helicopter to the fancy Hamptons for $3,000. Uber Chopper is a one-day thing and smells like a PR stunt that may have just worked. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.